Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Denver is very effective at getting after the passer, but that is the strength of the Buffalo Bills. That's the strength of Josh Allen. He hasn't been sacked much this year, and when you put pressure on him, he's either going to get the ball out of his hands or find ways to avoid it and make plays downfield. The X factor is Josh Allen and his legs, and you saw it all year long. When the games mattered, what happened? He ended up taking off. When they didn't matter, he'd spread it around, he'd throw it, he'd check it down. But when the games mattered, I'm thinking about that play against Kansas City at the end of the game. I'm thinking about some of the runs that he had in the Detroit game. He uses his legs.
And we know it. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Allen and running has been sort of a evergreen topic here for a few years. Does he do enough? Does he do too much? Risk of injury? Pick your spots. Last year we had Brandon B made a comment about, you know, I don't know about in week two, or it might even have been 2 years ago now. I don't know.
It was 2 years ago, October. I don't think he said a specific opponent, because that would be very unlike someone involved at a high level with one of these teams. But in my head, I heard week two against the Jets. I don't know why.
Week two. I remember week two. In three of their last, I guess it's six games or seven even, including the game against the Patriots where he left after one play, Allen has double-digit rushes in three. Chiefs, Rams, Lions. High scoring, big spot, desperation. He has six touchdowns in those three games as well, rushing. Plus a couple other touchdowns in that stretch. San Francisco and this last Jet game.
Depending on how long these games are close for, you know, so how much urgency is there. I feel like if the Bills go on a run here, if they play four games, which would get, that means they're in the Super Bowl, I think he's at like 50 carries between now and the end. Like, I think he's over 10 every game.
You know, in his playoff career also, it's 10 games, and he has six or more rushes in nine of the 10. So, I mean, you're a little bit above his career average in the playoffs, but in the playoffs, he's run a lot. 20 carries for 146 yards and three touchdowns in the two games last year combined, Pittsburgh and Kansas City. The only playoff game where he has fewer than six rushes is the Miami game, Skylar Thompson, where he had four. Four for 20. That game came up in our chat with Sal, and I went and looked at it. It's wild. I don't remember it super well, but the Bills had 16 possessions in that game against the Dolphins. Like, normal is 10, 11.
Yeah.
But turnovers and whatever, like, there were, it just happened in that, not an overtime game.
Right.
But the Bills had 16 possessions to, I guess, the Dolphins 15. And that's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. Back to Allen running. You're right. It is a subject, and it will continue to be a subject. I don't know how much. I feel like we haven't talked about it as much this year because they were kind of on autopilot, you know, for, I don't know, 6 weeks here, kind of. You know, like we got the division clinched. Everything's kind of in the window, and they were still winning games, even though I don't know that they were digging that deep into the playbook. At some point, Allen made mention of that, I think, after one of these games down the stretch, about just, you know, not you know, showing everything you've got in the playbook. But you get to now, and like that's all over. It needed even be said. Like, if you need to run him 15 times to win, then run him 15 times. I have no qualms. Like, this is the time. I mean, I don't want him to burn it all out in one game here and get dinged or something. So that's why it matters how competitive the game is, how, you know, how you're feeling as it's unfolding, and do you need to keep running him? But man, I won't be able to get enough of him running from here to the wire, because it's all that matters.
It's their best play. Has been for years. John is next. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I've just got a couple of thoughts here. I might have missed it earlier. You talked a little bit about Hyde. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, him possibly playing. I think that the Bills wouldn't have brought him in. Yes, he came in. I believe it was, you know, to be like a kind of a player that, you know, has some good history there and able to probably, you know, coach some of the younger players. But I think Hyde is a professional. He's ready. If they do bring him in, I think he'll be ready. I don't think McDermott would truly have him, just come out there and throw him in the game. So your thoughts on that, and how do you feel about, you know, like Bo Nix and some of the pressure that he might have to undergo with the Buffalo Bills on Sunday? They said he handles pressure pretty well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll take the Hyde part first here, and I think it would take an injury that's going to cause Hamlin, Rapp, or Bishop to miss a game. So you'd have to get to a point where you're talking about elevating Kareem Jackson from the practice squad for a playoff game. I think if you get there, then I think you might consider Hyde. But it is, Sal makes the point, and I think it's a good one, even to talk about just catching punts. He has not been doing any of that. So to just put him in seems almost insane to me. Really, I'm not calling you insane, John, specifically for bringing it up, but I can't foresee a scenario where they're going to look at their team healthy and go, all right, well, we brought him here, let's do it. I think it's always been like a break glass in case of emergency thing, and that emergency would be injuries to one of those three guys, I think is what it would take. Because you've still got Cam Lewis if you need him, that can fill in for one, but once you dip to Kareem Jackson, and I don't even know that would do it. They might just play Jackson instead of Hyde and have had him here all this time just for emotional support, expertise, leadership, that kind of stuff. I'd be real surprised if he played without a big injury or even maybe two to that position group from here to the end. That's how I look at it.
I mean, I just defer to McDermott on this. There might be people who think it's a mistake if he doesn't play, but how do we know? We don't know what he looks like, you know, just what it really is. So I would defer, I mean, not to always do this, but pretty good benefit of the doubt is earned here. And, of course, it's going to be what he thinks is in their best interest. Love to get him on the field. It would be a great story.
Yeah.
But you can't do it if you just don't really think it's worth doing.
And on Nix and pressure, I mean, nobody deals with, yeah, well, guys to varying degrees can deal with pressure better than others. Some have great numbers, better numbers than others against pressure. The thing that I think you want to watch for in this game is to try not to get too annoyed when the Bills aren't getting home, because it's Sean Payton. Like, this thing, the ball is coming out fast. So the way they deal with pressure is to get the ball out of there. So you've got to be ready to, you know, hop on some of that stuff, right? Which is not necessarily the Bills' strong suit. Like, they like to be more passive and play back and keep everything in front of them. But if a guy is just going to be throwing it, you know, at the line of scrimmage or just quick, you got to be able to sit on some of that and trust that you can jump some of it and take the ball away that way. Because I don't think you're going to get to him with great regularity. The Bills have not been great piling up sacks this year, and they even resorted to doing more blitzing down the stretch than we've seen them do traditionally through Sean McDermott's tenure here. When I think about Nix and pressure, it's simply, can I get him on the back end? Because I think you're going to have a hard time getting to him. Their whole passing game mostly is predicated on that ball coming out quick.
Denver defense first in sacks?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, they've got
you nailed that.
13.5 for Benito, 10.5 for this Cooper. These are their two edge guys. 8.5 for Zach Allen. There's another pretty decent 7 in there for John Franklin Myers, another defensive end. So, yeah, they don't have one guy that's like piling up, you know. Well, 13.5 is a solid number.
Yes.
They don't have a spectacular, you know, like TJ Watt type guy. But they got a lot of guys that have produced.
You know it. You know who else produced? Elvis.
Sure. That's a hell of a segue.
Elvis turns 90 today.
Well, he's passed.
What, you don't think he's alive?
Quite some time.
You don't think he's alive?
I there might have been a time in my adult life when I thought maybe.
Was that when he was alive?
No. I was not an adult when he
77?
Yeah, I'm 12.
Okay. It seems like you would have been like older for that.
Yeah.
77. Anything that I can remember from my first days, you feel like you might have been like in college.
One of the first 45s I ever got was an Elvis Presley 45. Not like a new song that was released, like it was a current song. Like it wasn't like some golden oldie or something. It was Raised on Rock. I don't know what album it's off of.
I do not.
But I still have
Rumors.
I still have the 45 somewhere.
It's on Rumors, yeah. I believe. Album of the year, wasn't it? Hotel California.
Yeah.
Raised on Rock.
That's Raised
on Rock. Is that like his last hit?
I don't know if it was even a hit, Mike.
His last anything?
I had a 45 and a big picture of him in like the big jumpsuit on the cover, looking not prime. Frankly,
well, it happens to us. It can't happen.
It's a tough photo op.
You are an Elvis fan.
I was an Elvis fan. I guess I still am kind of an Elvis fan, but I'm long dormant.
No interest in Graceland, or
I have a cutout. I have Graceland on display in my attic in the vinyl room.
So you've been?
I've been there. Yeah, I did not get this piece that this is actually, it was a CD booklet of an Elvis Christmas album. And when you open the booklet up, a little Graceland pops up. So I have that on a speaker. In fact, I had some company over the holidays that were over, and these people have mostly been in the attic dozens of times now. Somebody actually asked. I guess maybe they never noticed it. They never knew. I mean, it's right there in plain view. You can't really miss it. Like, what is this on the speaker? I'm like, that's Graceland. And they looked a little closer. Like, oh yeah, okay, I got it.
I love a Graceland that pops up.
And I did visit Graceland. Yeah, it's like a little kid's pop-up book. It's that. But I was at Graceland, you know. I don't have any pictures on my phone because, again, I was probably 15 years old or so. But
soon after his reported death.
That's right. That's right.
Here's Patrick next. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
There it is.
Oh, brat.
Hang up on this
guy. It's great. No, I love it. Happy New Year to you.
No.
January 8th.
Right. We're at odds here.
Something that's been coming up, I don't know if this is a fair criticism or not, but I feel like in the Allen era Bills, something that comes up a lot is this team's propensity to get out to an early lead and then give up the lead. I did a little bit of research with my friends, and it looks like between the Texans playoff game from the 2019-2020 season through and including last year, including the playoffs, we lost a total of 23 games, and in 8 of those losses we were up by at least 2 scores.
Ooh.
Which I feel like is a, you know, you can fact check me on that. I'm pretty confident it's correct, but I feel like that's a big enough sample size that it's interesting to me, at least. So I guess my question is, do you guys feel like this current team, because they haven't really done that too much this year, they've really just kind of killed a lot of teams. I guess they had the sort of close one with the Lions, but do you feel like, you know, maybe this team, because they have a better running game, is less vulnerable to that? Or, you know, is it, do you feel like it has something to do with like the soft, you know, zone coverages? Just what, yeah, I'm curious what your sense of that is.
I would want to dig into this. It's a really interesting number. I mean, even the Lions game, they're up 35-14 with 9 minutes left or something. So that's different too. But anecdotally, you know, what is it going to be? You're going to want to confirm your biases here. And for me, this is going to be, they got up and then they eased off. I'm thinking about more of them on offense. And mm-hmm. I won't go as far as to say it's, I'm not sure I'm right. I won't go as far as to say it scares me for them in the playoffs, but their running game has been so much a part of the story that I a little bit fear that they'll just get married to it. And if they're up 10 to nothing, that might be what you get. And I don't know if Denver is the team that's capable of burning you when you do that, but who knows? It could be anybody. You always want to play from ahead. But still, 8 out of their 23 losses, they're up by 2 scores. Playoff-wise, that AFC Championship, they were up 9-0. That would count. Houston game would count.
Scores, yeah.
That Miami game that they won against Skylar Thompson, they were up 17 to nothing, and the game ended 34-31. Interesting. I'm not sure I've ever realized. Or if that's necessarily a high percentage. It feels like it should be.
I know, but I wonder like how if it's atypical, really.
I'm going to do some research on that one myself. Very good, Patrick. He said eight out of 23 losses since that Houston game?
Yes. Have been two score leads in eight of those games.
They wouldn't have had a two-score lead in the Chief playoff games other than that first one, right?
Right.
13 seconds they weren't up.
No.
I guess maybe you could be up 10 and it doesn't feel like it's
right.
They weren't though.
Like 10 is two scores, but it feels way different than 14 nothing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it as a fan watching. Like their team gets the ball, you're up 10 nothing. Like 14 nothing, it's you're almost at you better not screw this up. 10 nothing, I'm not at you better not screw this up yet.
They're not a team that's come back as often. You know, like we were looking at Bo Nix's stats, and he had some number of fourth quarter comebacks this year. Allen had maybe none.
Without diving into it, like games that I think of where they come back, they still end up losing.
The games of the year.
Right. The Ram game is such a game where they're down 31-14 maybe in that game. They came back and made it a game, but they didn't get it. The Eagle game, they were down. They came back, didn't get it.
Houston this year.
Sure. Yep.
Thanks again, Patrick. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.